This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Eight-week session on recovery. I'm real excited about it. I want to set it up, though, using something that a lot of you guys might be familiar with. And so I'm just going to throw this on the board real quick. And a lot of you guys might recognize this. But here's kind of how it goes. This is the way I usually experience people growing up, right? A lot of you guys know where this is going already, right? This is what is this, you guys? Who knows? It's a wheel. It's a rolling ball, right? And this is the way I kind of experienced watching people live their lives. As I grew up, I watched guys get up, go to work, rolling along real smooth, right? Super smooth. Work all day, come home from work, kind of gear down, play with the family, grill some burgers, real smooth, like rolling along. To me, this was amazing. How are they doing this, right? And even more amazing, towards evening, they'd relax, turn on some TV, and when it time to came to go to bed, they would turn out the lights and go to sleep. To me, I'm like, this is amazing. How are they doing this? And if that wasn't a miracle enough, they'd get up the next day and they would do it again. I think even my sister remembers me talking to her about, how are they doing this? Like, what are they eating for breakfast? Right? What's in this waffle? How can that generate this functional life? Like, it seems to be so easy. I watch them get up, go to work, have family time, wind down, go to bed. Pretty smooth, right? But this is the way I experience life. I experience it more like that. Okay? This is me trying to roll along. How smooth is this guy going to make it, right? Get up, go to work, maybe. Thump, 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 right? Not too smooth. If you could get this thing to roll, it'd be pretty annoying, like to me and those around me, which it was. Super difficult stuff, very painful stuff. And I'll just kind of cut right to the chase. You know, I had a lot of inner anxiety, had a lot of fear, felt very awkward. Super awkward around, like, little kids. You know, had no idea how to be around them. And then people my own age, you know, that was super awkward. People older than me, that's mega awkward. Have no idea how that works, right? People coming near me, people staying away from me, all confusing, all very uncomfortable, right? Didn't know how to press in, didn't know how to work through problems, had no abilities to do those things, very confusing stuff. But guess what, guys, I discovered? I discovered drugs. I discovered chemicals. I mean, I really, really got that one figured out. And when I discovered chemicals, check out what I could do, all right? Boom! Now who's rolling? Get up in the morning, no problem. Boom! I could roll right with the best of them. Work, I had certain chemicals that gave me endurance, where I could work all day long, right? I mean, this made me round. Like, I could be round. You guys get that? My bosses saw me when I was like this. They would even talk about it and say, let's give him a raise. We want to keep him around. It was amazing. But see, there's a problem here, guys, and you can see it. Now I'm drug dependent. Now I'm chemical dependent. I would get up, had that one going on, go to work, work all day. You know, winding down, that was a little tricky. Now I got to put the brakes on. Now I got to go Elvis, right? Now I got to figure out how to crash. And you could do it. You know, you have chemicals at your disposal. You could do this thing. And I did it. And I did it for long periods of time in my life. I could be round just like this guy. And it felt amazing to be normal. I mean, it just felt incredible. I can't tell you guys what it felt like to be working right alongside normal people and keeping this consistency, right? But now I'm dependent on drugs, and here's another problem that would happen. See this little weird shape here? Sometimes it would start coming out. No! Okay, this has got to stop. This can't happen. So clearly the answer is more. Yeah! Now I'm a monster. Now check out me. I'm going to roll. Now I'm really going to go. Now I'm huge. Boom, boom, boom. Now I'm rolling smooth, right? But I'm a little scared. You know, this is freaking me out. Now I'm committing crimes, guys. You know, now I'm trying to do things, you know, to keep this thing going. I don't know about you, but I was hooked on things that weren't legal. So I'm committing felonies to be normal. It wasn't about being high. It was about me trying to be normal. It was about me trying to live blasted life. True story. I was trying to make it through a day, right? Now, you go to a doctor would tell you, just like I discovered, Stan, you're having a reaction to these chemicals that's not normal. You're actually having an allergic response to these chemicals that you happen to enjoy. Because I can promise you this, if this guy put all that in his body, he's not going to be having fun, dude. He's going to want that out of his body as soon as possible. He's not going to experience the same thing as you are. And this is kind of what I mean. You know, this applies across the board to people. This is kind of what he said. And apply it to whatever you're dealing with. As he said, Stan, that's not what that was designed to be used for. You're using it for something that's not the design. Okay? So clearly my answer was, I'm allergic to this stuff. I'm a drug addict. I can't ever put chemicals in my body. That was my new reality. And so the clear answer was, the answer to my problems was quit. Awesome. All I got to do is quit. Got it. So I quit. Took all these chemicals out, quit doing them. Oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm so glad I talked to that doctor, guys, because now all my problems are over. Wow, I'm glad I got off those drugs, because now I feel great, right? Look at me! I'm worse than when I started. Like, I'm a freak. What's wrong with that doctor? He told me this was my problem, right? Now I'm in a lot of trouble, guys. And I want you guys to know that when we start this series here we're doing tonight, is that God has an absolutely miraculous, beautiful, amazing answer to this problem that will blow you away if you get a hold of this. This is what changed my wife and I's life in every single way. Okay, I'll back up for a second here. I was listening to a guy, I'm not recommending the movie necessarily, but it was called A New High. It was on Netflix. And this guy has a recovery program, and it's about climbing mountains. And he actually ties recovery to mountain climbing. Super cool. And what it is they'll train physically super hard for 9 months. You know, they have to have like 30 days of clean time. And then they begin training very, very hard physically to climb, like, what is it, Mount Rainier? How do you say it? Rainier. I always say it wrong. Anyway, they climbed this mountain, and I was so moved by this guy's heart because showed him walking down the sidewalk with mountain climbing gear, and you could see the mountain. And he's walking down the sidewalk, and there's cardboard boxes, people pass out on the sidewalk. He's going, hey, check it out. See that mountain? Let's climb that mountain together, me and you. You can climb that mountain with us. A whole bunch of us are going to climb that mountain. Like, get up, get some food in your tummy, get sobered up, get some clean time, and then you and I, we're going to climb that mountain. How about doing that with me? You want to do that with me? Come on. And he was trying to coax them out of their little box. And I'm just sitting there going, reaching for my popcorn. This is so moving. Let's climb the mountain. It was amazing, guys. This guy had a great, and he just has an incredible idea. But where my mind went is the same place your mind would probably go. And that is, look at all the people in the program that physically, there's no way they're climbing that mountain. right? I mean, there's just no way. It was really cool to see the group that he put together. And they were walking around with mountain climbing gear as part of their recovery, reminding them what they were shooting for. And they were interviewing these guys, and these people are saying, I need this mountain. I've lost my wife, my kids, my home. I've lost everything in my life. I'm climbing that mountain if it's the last thing I do. And if I can climb that mountain, and if I can learn this teamwork, and if I can learn how to do this, I can push myself this hard, I can beat this addiction. I mean, it was so moving. I mean, I was like, yes, eating my popcorn, right? Tears. It was really cool. And so my challenge is, you know, this is a great place to begin and tying what would be your mountain to your recovery. What would that look like? Okay. Still on a physical note, we have a little karate program that we do, and I've got a couple people we're working with on that. We have a tournament in October, and we're going to enter it in like the forums and the sparring. And it's just something to do that's tied to their recovery. And I got a couple people meeting with me at my house, and we're tying it to their recovery, and that is going to be their graduation. That they're going to stand there on that day and face down that tournament. Win or lose, doesn't matter. They're going, and they're going to do it, and we're doing it together, and it's going to be super fun. But what would be your mountain? You know, my daughter and I talked about her playing a certain piece on the piano. Like, she's training for, like, playing. What would be, you know, what, you know, set of music would you want to play by a certain date that would be your graduation, right? Kind of your pinnacle of training that would push you super hard. What would be your painting that you would paint, or a book that you would write? You know, what would it be for you? And this is super cool. Like, Kaylin and I were talking about backpacking. She was talking about 20 miles. I'm like, 20 miles? I don't want to recover that bad. No, I'm kidding. I mean, that was, like, super far. I'm like, I'll get back with you way later, maybe. So anyway, I wanted to throw that out there. And if you have some ideas for something that you want to do, something that you want to train for, something you want to tie to your recovery, let's talk about it. It would be super fun to hear your ideas and what you're going to do and how you can get some people engaged in this around you to do some physical things tied to this personal thing. So let me show you this scripture and of what this is based on. I found this Bible in the sanctuary, so if this is yours, I'm using it tonight. Check this out. It said, I'm resourceful, so. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside. Sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. I think this is awesome. This is the posture that most teachers would take. The teachers would sit, right? The students would stand. So I have a lot of teachers in here tonight, and you guys got one student, you know? So I hope you guys got some good stuff. There was a lot of opinions in Jesus' day about the kingdom of God, how it worked, how it would show up, what it would look like, just like right now. Go ahead and study the kingdom of God, what it looks like, how it's going to show up, you know, how we're tracking it, and you're going to hear about everything under the sun. And if you don't believe that specific way, you're probably in trouble in some way. I mean, this is how tough it can be. We're talking about all these different opinions about the kingdom of God. But understand, in this moment, in this time, God himself now sits on a mountainside. Like right here, what we've just read, God is on a mountainside ready to say how it really, really is. He is going to say from his mouth, God, this is the kingdom. This is how it works. This is how it operates. This just totally gets my attention. And I want to ask you this question. Do you need what he's about to say? God's on a mountainside. Like, I don't know about you, but there was a time when I'm all in this mess. I don't care about no mountain. I don't care about what God says. I got my own plan, right? I got my own plan of how I'm going to make myself okay. I don't know about all that. But there comes a time in a person's life, and there came one in Glenn and I's life, where we need to climb that spiritual mountain. And we need to sit at the feet of God and say, I'm listening. Like, I'm listening. Tell me how it works, because my stuff isn't working. And so I want to ask you, do you need what he's about to say? And even more important than that, do you want what he's about to say? And see, to use recovery terms, guys, we can go 5 minutes from now. We can go 2 minutes from here, and we can see all over town people that need recovery. Clearly, we can all go, yeah, see that guy? He needs recovery. But more importantly, does he want recovery? Super, super important. And so what Jesus is going to say, most scholars, most theologians agree that this was his basic teaching. This is what he taught. This is what he was teaching his disciples to teach. So this is real basic foundational stuff of how it works in the kingdom. And this is what he's about to say, that people that are part of the kingdom either have these ways worked into their lives or are doing so, learning how to do it. Okay? So here it is. You guys ready? One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up on the mountainside, sat down. Man, that just moves me deeply. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where we're going to start. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What a great starting point. Blessed meaning happiness, meaning this great joy, this deep joy. And from what I studied in it, and there's a lot of material on this, is it seems to be the kind of happiness and kind of joy where it's contained within itself. It's got this secret self-containment. Kind of reminds me of when my wife and I were running around, we were dating, we always had this grin. We look at each other and we would grin because we had this secret joy. And we knew what it was, we knew what it meant. Right? It was just joy that contained itself. And this is what he's saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Guys, this is a bottom rung. Thank God it's the bottom rung, because being poor, I got that one. So far, so good. Yeah, this is good stuff for me. If it was, hey, if the first rung was pure in heart, guys, you know, I may need to do some more karate stretches. I can't get up there. The first run, guys, is awesome because we can all do this to be poor in spirit. This is a marvelous thing, to be poor in spirit. Why is that the requirement? There's so many reasons. You guys, think about something you know. Like, think about something you understand, like you know about. Have you ever tried to teach somebody that thing that you know, but they already know? They already got it all figured out. They need to learn. Like, you need to show them. Oh, but they already know. Like, they're all full of it. How annoying is that? I'll tell you guys something. We had a booth at the fair, the underground booth. Okay? Just an example. And obviously, you know, we had all these words up, addictions, life-controlling issues, all these things, right? And so we're sitting back there on our little mountainside, ready to dispense underground wisdom. We are ready. I just thought it was interesting. Like, here we are set up. We do this for a living. This is obviously our little niche. I'm just saying, I noticed this, okay? Just noticed it. And if my face gets red, I'm not mad. I'm just saying I noticed it. Do you think that people came up to us all day and asked us tons of questions, like, you know, just tell me, how does this work? You know, life-controlling issues, tell me. Addictions, okay, give me more. Come on. Give me a chair. Nuh-uh. You know what happened to us all day long for that whole week? We heard everybody's take. Let me tell you how addictions work. Let me tell you what you need to do. Let me tell you how it all works. Let me tell you all about addictions. Let me tell you about the two YouTube videos I saw. And we're just looking at each other. That's cool. Wonderful. That's awesome. That's cool. I love talking to people. I love hearing about their theories. I love it all. But it's just kind of the culture we live in. This is the day we live in. comments, right? My opinion, all these things. Really, really hard to teach somebody something where they're showing up with their end of it. They got no room. Just super interesting, right? Now, we went down to Anchorage. We entered that tournament. Kaylin decided not to go. She dodged a huge bullet. Wise choice. Good job. We went down there, learned a bunch. But it's just interesting because, you know, I'm this old guy. We were in black belt division. Doesn't make me good at it. Just makes me interested in it. And I was interested in it. And I went down there, hobbled in there. But I'm just saying to notice this, right? And here we are, like, in this black belt instructor division, and we're showing up. Guess what people came up to me and told me all day long? How karate works. Here's how it works. Here's how you need to teach it. Here's all the theory. Like, nobody one time, I was telling Glenna, watch this. Not one person will ask one single question, because that's the day we live in. Not even one question. Like, not even one question. It was just interesting to me. I don't care, because I love hearing, I heard some good stuff. But I'm just saying, this is the day we live in. You would think, like, in our day, that being powerful is the answer to this guy's problems. Right? You would think to enter the kingdom of God, I got to be powerful. And he's saying, no, no, no. It's the opposite. He's saying it's the opposite. You would think being powerful is the key. Like, try to get on Kaylin's volleyball team. Go up to her and say, I want to play on your team. She'll say, why should you play on my team? And just say, I'm super weak. I'm slow. I can't see. I can't jump at all. And she'll say, the other team would love you. That's great. That's great. She has. To me. Just kidding. What do you do with power and authority? Like, what do you do? Like, do you do what I do with it? Like, naturally? This is a hard thing. Because you think, naturally, in this realm, in our world we live in, that to have great power and authority, you have to become less human. Why are you less human? Because I have power and authority. I must be less human. I must be less human. Why? Because I have power and authority, right? Jesus is saying, if I'm going to give you my power and if I'm going to give you my authority, I don't want you to be less human. I want you to be more human than you've ever been in your life. Because that's what he did. I want you to be so human. I want you to feel so much more than you've ever felt. I want you to get in their shoes and I want you to feel what it's like to be them. This is the way in. This is so opposite of our natural tendencies. Okay, guys, just plain and simple. I was born with a terminal condition that, if left untreated, will cause me death. It will cause me death. Okay? And its symptoms are all over my life, plain and simple. The scripture says sin gives birth to death. Okay? Like, I sow seeds. I grow up. I have beliefs. I have a way. I sow seeds. Here's how I'm going to live. Here's how I'm going to believe. Here's the choices I'm going to make. And they begin to grow into a lifestyle, into habits. And I wire my brain that way. This is how I'm going to do it. And when those things are full grown, for the most part, when you hit about my age, 28, just kidding, when you hit your 40s, for the most part, death, harvest time, death, it's come. You're eating poison ivy salad. By my age, it all begins to rain down and bear fruit. Doesn't happen immediately, not usually. Guys, I was loving this. I was rocking this. I got a lot of friends from this era that thought, man, you could really perform. You're a hard worker. You got all this. I mean, I know people from this time. It didn't happen right away, but happened, it happened, it happened. What kind of death? Spiritual death between me and God. Social death? It's called a jail sentence. That's death, guys. Emotional death, anxiety, depression, fear. Relational death. It's called a divorce. I don't want to be married to you anymore. Get out. I've been there. That's super painful. That's death. Personal death, addiction. All the way in addiction. Deeply entrenched addiction. And if you have enough money or your family has enough money, you can make a lot of these things go away until you don't have any money. And then reality really hits home. When I operate in fear, this guy's terrified. This guy's afraid. This guy's super fragile and weak. When I operate in fear, I don't know if it's the same for you. Like, okay, we used to, long time ago, back when I was young, just kidding, long time ago, used to be afraid of wolves and bears and starvation, right? That kind of stuff. Are we afraid of those things now? No, not every day. We used to have to be afraid for our physical lives. Now, in our country, we're terrified for our emotional lives. And we respond with things. We respond with things like what I'm showing you. What does it look like when you're afraid? What does it look like when you panic? When I go into a panic, I need this drug. I'm afraid. I'm all alone. This is awkward. Sit in a waiting room and watch how fast people bring their phones out, right? I like to just take it from them. Hi, my name's Stan. Let's be awkward. Let's feel this thing, right? Come on, let's feel it, right? Scoot my chair up super close to him. Do you feel yourself contract? Is it about you? Do you get real small? Do you start grasping? What does it look like when you start grasping for your drug of choice, for what you think you need to make you okay? How small do you really get? This guy's life gets as small as a pill. That's how small my life got. As small as a baggie. As razor sharp focus, as small as a little baggie. That's how small my life got. My whole life got that small, guys. Okay, being poor in spirit, that's not an action step. Doesn't feel good. It's a conclusion we come to. It's an agreement we make with God. I'm powerless. They say that your agreement with reality determines so much about the direction of your life. That's huge. That's huge. Do you have this terminal condition? Look at the person next to you and say, "Forgive me for my sins against you." That's interesting, isn't it? What does that feel like? Did you guys know in this country, the way we see that? Like, I did this immediately when I did it. I thought, I don't know if I've sinned against you. Anybody think that? But listen, there's other ways of thinking. You want to go into an Asian world, like my mom's world, into an Asian world, they think very differently about this. Did you guys know that? How about this? See it like air pollution. We all contribute to it, and we all suffer from it. I have added to the sin pool, guys, from things I have done. I have added to the suffering in this world by things I have not done that I should have done. I have added to the pollution in this world called sin and brokenness. I have done it, and the world's suffering went up microscopically, but it went up because of me. It did. I added to pollution in this world. Now think about that for a second. And now look at the person next to you and say, "Forgive me for my sins against you." Did that feel different? Did it? It should feel different. It should feel different. I think that's a really, really cool exercise to do. Let me show you this. Mark 2:17 says this: Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors, other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" And when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they're righteous, but those who know they're sinners." God will always lead us. He'll always lead me to deal with my selfishness. The main symptom of this thing I carry, this terminal condition I was born with, the main symptom is selfishness, self-centeredness. That's the main symptom that rises up. And it'll give you away every single time. Okay, look at it this way. He just said he used himself as a doctor in this beautiful picture, him as this physician. All right, let's just say you have HIV. Okay, your parents were drug users. This is the story. Your parents were drug users and you have HIV. Okay, you walk into the physician. And let me ask you this question. Is it your fault that you have HIV? No. You were born with it. Where'd you get it? Your parents. I have a terminal condition called sin. Is it my fault I have it? No. I was born this way. Where'd I get it? My parents. And from their parents, and from their parents, it goes on. Now, I go to this doctor, I go to this physician, and I want you to know, I've talked to doctors plenty of times, and you hear it from them, there's obedient patients, and there's disobedient patients. And what are the results? And they'll tell you what the results are. You know, God has a prescription, and he has a way. There's a way of living that he prescribes. There's a selfish way, and there's a way of love. This thing, he has the antidote to this thing. I used this example in church Sunday when I said, when you take a big, giant monster energy drink or some kind of concoction that is about as far away from what is designed for our body to use, right? And you crack that open and you chug that thing down, made of all kind of synthetic whatever, you get this giant cascade of reward. I get reward. A big one. Boom. Wow. And you know what my brain says? Wow, Stan. You must be an amazing guy. Because you just collected a world-class reward. Let me meet you. I got to meet you. What'd you do? Save 3 people from a burning building? What'd you do? Just cure cancer? Because that was a giant reward. What'd you do? I said, well, actually, what I did was I just cracked the top of this little can open, right? Really? I got to have that again. We got to have this reward, right? And this wrestling match begins with my brain. Pretty soon, it's got a gun. Give me the reward, right? And there's this, he's got me in an arm bar, right? This is what we're up against here, guys, is this reward system. Now, I trust God with the big stuff. I do. I'm really good at trusting him with the big stuff, I promise. God, let the sun rise today, right? Don't let a sinkhole open up under my house. Just suck us down in, you know? Even sometimes I don't trust him with that. But I'm pretty good at that. And I want you to know Satan has an IQ of probably 200,000. But God has an IQ of infinity, infinity, infinity. That is awesome. That is amazing. He is to be praised. And I want you guys to know something. I can't change anybody. I can't change you. I can't change anyone. I can't even change me. But I can let him change me. I can let God change me. I can let the only one. He makes a therapeutic intervention on mankind when he enters our world and enters into this equation. He is a great physician. When you're hurting and you're sick and your symptoms are all over you, who do you want to be brought in front of? A judge or a great physician? He is a great physician. And this is what we're doing here at the Underground. He's a great physician and he has life. Okay, I won't go over all my notes because of time, but I'll just tell you this. When we come to him and say, I am bankrupt, I am without answers, I am powerless. Guys, check it out. Physically, you remember, I can't put chemicals in this body because of what it does to me. I'm addicted immediately. I enjoy it in a way I shouldn't. I'm using it for reasons I shouldn't. Biologically, I can't touch chemicals, but my mind now remembers what it was like to be round. It remembers. It was awesome to be round. It was amazing to be normal, to feel that feeling. So this is the situation I'm in. My body can't handle the chemicals because it will be addicted immediately. My mind is obsessed with what it was like. I'm in trouble. Would you guys agree I'm in trouble? I'm in a whole lot of trouble. And he's telling me, if I admit it, if I come to him and say, you're the great physician, I need to step out of the equation, come under your care, he promises an incredible exchange if I will let him. It was like actually easier for me to let my wife get cut open and have like a gallbladder removed. Like I was thinking about it. I'm like, I didn't even check the surgeon's license. I don't even know who they were. I just assumed this looks like a hospital to me. I'm assuming that all these cars and doctors and this whole place must be pretty legit. Cut away. I mean, that's amazing when you really think about it. It could be some kind of weird horror movie. He thinks it's a hospital. Bring her in. I really did believe it was a hospital. I still think it was. I let him cut my wife open. God's saying, Stan, will you trust me? You lay under my care and will you let me do some work? Keep your grubby hands off the levers. You're a freak. You're out of control. Let go. Let go. Let me work. Man, guys, that is a powerful place. And he's telling us if we'll do that, he will give us in return the secrets to the kingdom of God. To the kingdom of God. He doesn't pull you from the poop pile and bring you into the workhouse. Here, you fillet fish here. No. He brings you upside with nobles, with kings, queens, authorities, powers. He gives you great honor. He gives you position that will blow your mind. And we let him make this incredible exchange. Did you guys know, I read this week, over 4,000 people choke to death every year because they go, I'm choking, and they run into the bathroom because they're embarrassed. I would do that. I would do that. Like, I would do that. They find him in a bathroom with a piece of steak. They won't ask for help. I'm embarrassed. Oh, I don't know. They'll see me making a weird face. You know what I mean? Like, this is our reality we live in. All right, let me just close with this. Annabelle Gillam. She was a powerful minister. She's passed away. This is my last story, and I'm done. And then next week, we're going to go to the next beatitude, and we're going to rock, right? Don't go golfing or be gone. Be here, right? You guys know why I bring two pair of pants out to golfing? In case I get a hole in one. Aha! That was awesome. I really wanted to say that. Annabelle Gillam, her and her husband, Bill, were ministers, and they had a son that they loved dearly. True story. And he was severely retarded. Severely. And they loved this boy dearly. And she tells this story. It's so crazy. And he came to a place where they had to get help and involve an institution and some help. And it was just crushing them. And her little boy's sitting there. She tells a story about the crib and him sitting there, you know, drooling and looking away at this distance, and she's just going, my son, my son, my son. Came the time for her to gather his things to take him, and this, she's just crushed. And she said, I gathered his stuff, and I finally just put it all down. I sat down by the crib, and I just grabbed his little hands and said, I love you so much. I just love you. I love you so much. You're my son, and I love you. And she said, in his face, nothing. Just looked out. And she began to gather his things together and gather his things together. And she dropped down on her knees again and grabbed his little hands and said, I love you. I love you. I love you so much. And you just see, I love you. What I'm doing, I love you. Nothing. And she said, as she was grabbing the last of his things before taking him, God just hit her like a bomb and said, he doesn't get what you're saying. Because he has no choice. He is in this situation. But you resist my love because you just won't see it. You won't believe me. I'm doing the same thing. I am before you. I've grabbed your little hands. God comes to me in this situation and grabs my little hands, guys. And I am like out of my mind. And he grabs my little hands and says, I love you, Stan. I just want you to know, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Stan. I love you. I love you. Your job is just believe me. Just hear me. You might not do anything for me. You might not be able to do anything for me. But I love you. I just love you because you're mine. You're my son and I love you. Let's start right there. This is a great, great start. And what God does, puts a little seed inside of us. A brand new identity. A brand new person. A brand new creation that's not addicted. A member of the household of God. He does. And guys, it can take years. We have to face this stuff from the inside out. The kingdom of God advances. Guys, the kingdom of God advances. The kingdom of God advances and advances. Until one day, guys, guess who is round? Guess who's round? Guess who has confidence? Guess who can hold a job? Guess who can sit with awkwardness? Guess who's not afraid? Right? He'll make you solid from the inside out. Wow. He'll do it. He'll do it. But it begins with the bottom rung. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you've got nothing, if you're out of gas, done. Welcome home. Welcome home. Thank you, guys.